Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is June 1, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Chase Bank to refund 95% of $2.5 million it allegedly overcharged crypto buyers. Maker of ColdCard Bitcoin wallet rolls out an extra-strength USB condom. Bug in time-locked Bitcoin contracts could spur miners to steal from each other. First mover, 0xSZRX token surged 67% in May to become month's top performer. Blockchain Bytes, Chase class action, 30 words for censorship and a Bitcoin bug. Ether leads Bitcoin on price as investors prepare for staking arrival. Crypto influencers are following the beauty playbook even if they don't know it. Now let's get started. Chase Bank to refund 95% of $2.5 million it allegedly overcharged crypto buyers. Chase Bank has agreed to repay most of $2.5 million in fees customers say it unfairly charged for cryptocurrency transactions. A subsidiary of J.P. Morgan Chase, the bank has agreed to settle a class action lawsuit resulting from the bank's decision in 2018 to charge higher fees on Chase credit cards that had classified the crypto purchases as cash advances. In March, lead plaintiffs Brady Tucker, Ryan Hilton and Stanton Smith notified the U.S. Southern District Court in New York that they had agreed to a settlement with the defendant, Chase Bank. An order signed by Judge Catherine Polk Fila at the time resulted in court proceedings being discontinued and allowed settlement to proceed. As reported by Reuters on May 28, in a motion filed to the Manhattan Federal Court on May 26, plaintiffs said the settlement will result in class members of the lawsuit receiving about 95% of the fees they allege they were unlawfully charged. Chase, in turn, will not admit to any wrongdoing to the 62,000 class members as part of the settlement deal, according to the motion. Chase has agreed to enter into this agreement to avoid the further expense, inconvenience, and distraction of burdensome and protracted litigation, and to be completely free of any further claims that were asserted or could have been asserted in the action, the motion stated. The class action was first brought forward in April 2018, when Tucker alleged Chase had charged him more than $160 in fees and interest for regularly purchasing cryptocurrencies from Coinbase using his credit card. Executive Director of Pricing Processes, Strategy, Competitive Intelligence and Customer Experience at J.P. Morgan Chase Prashant Singh testified that between April 10, 2015 and the date of this declaration, May 21, Chase credit card account holders were assessed $2,567,252 in cash advance fees, after netting for reversals, in connection with credit card transactions with merchants that Chase has identified as potential cryptocurrency merchants. The amount to be refunded will come to around $2.4 million. Maker of ColdCard Bitcoin wallet rolls out an extra-strength USB condom. The comedian Dennis Miller once joked about computer viruses, when you link up to another computer, you're linking up to every computer that that computer has ever linked up to. If so, CoinKite, maker of the ColdCard hardware wallet, has invented an extra-strength prophylactic for Bitcoin investors. The startup just released ColdPower, which allows users to charge their hardware wallets by connecting the USB plug to a 9-volt battery, rather than, say, plugging it into a laptop. Comparing it to a popular gizmo that prevents accidental data exchange when one device is plugged into another to charge, CoinKite says ColdPower is like a USB condom, but self-powered. We want to help protect people from bad USB attacks by facilitating air gap use of their cold card, CoinKite CEO Rodolfo Novak said. Air gapped use means not connecting a device to the internet. Simultaneously, CoinKite rolled out SeedPlate, a metal plate for engraving a recovery seed, which is like an emergency password for accessing Bitcoin. Since the phrase is carved in metal, there's less risk of it being lost or damaged than if written on a piece of paper. Novak called it a backup of last resort. Taken together, these products underscore the idiosyncratic risks of cryptocurrency, which, although digital, is arguably a bearer asset like physical cash. Once a private key for cryptocurrency is stolen, the coins are likely gone for good. The holder of the private key is responsible for keeping it secure, and the required precautionary mindset often borders on paranoia. Hardware wallets like ColdCard, OpenDeem, Ledger, or Trezor are considered one of the most secure ways of storing Bitcoin private keys since they are devices that are stored offline and are less susceptible to hacks. But even when using them, there are obscure ways Bitcoins can be hacked or lost. Our ultimate goal at CoinKite is to make all aspects of HODLing safer, Novak said, referencing the HODL meme, a misspelling of hold, used as a shorthand for the act of storing Bitcoin and waiting to see how the novel digital currency fares over the years. In April, Novak gave a talk spotlighting his disdain for the USB standard for connections between hardware jacks at a virtual reality meetup. The standard is centralized, he said, and thousands of pages long, so no one can get through them. He listed many attacks that can be used with the connection tool. Not even a simple power adapter can be trusted, according to Novak. There are many USB hacks and someone could make an evil power adapter, bank or an evil cable, he said. Cold power, on the other hand, is a verifiable dumb, no smart electronics to be hacked power supply. The next best thing to abstinence, perhaps. Bug in time-locked Bitcoin contracts could spur miners to steal from each other. A widespread bug has compromised a special type of Bitcoin transaction that is supposed to discourage miners from cheating, new research shows. In a report released in late April, pseudonymous engineer 0xb10c found more than a million of these time-locked transactions made between September 2019 and March 2020 were not accurately enforced by the network. This increases the risk of a hypothetical form of attack in which miners could essentially steal Bitcoin from other miners. The bug affects 10% of time-locked transactions, or 2% of Bitcoin transactions overall. The findings highlight a key area of Bitcoin research that aims to stop miners from growing too powerful or cheating in various ways so the world's largest cryptocurrency, with a market capitalization worth around $173 billion, works as designed. 0xb10c is one of a global network of developers and researchers battle-testing the network, to guard against even theoretical attacks that so far haven't been much of an issue. A time-locked transaction prevents the recipient of Bitcoin from accessing it right away. Instead, the person must wait until the network has added a certain number of blocks to the ledger. Since each new block takes about 10 minutes to record, a time lock can be programmed to expire at an approximate point in the future by setting a corresponding block height. One use case for this feature is as a form of vesting. Startup Blockstream has paid employees in time-locked Bitcoin, for instance, which theoretically gives them an incentive to do what's best for the network's long-term value. But the faulty time locks 0xb10c detected had a more immediate purpose. Set for the current block, so they are not valid until one block later, they are designed to make a potentially disruptive mining strategy, called fee sniping, less profitable, 0xb10c said. With fee sniping, a malicious miner tries to replace a block someone else just mined with their own, including the same transactions plus potentially other transactions that are still pending. The time lock prevents them from including the latter, limiting the spoils from the attack so it's not worth the bother. A long-term risk. The likelihood of such an attack might increase as transaction fees, which users pay to prioritize their payments, become a more important source of income for miners. Right now, miners mostly rely on block rewards of newly minted Bitcoin to cover their costs. But this revenue stream decreases over time, as the Bitcoin network's recent halving shows. Currently, not enforcing a time lock to an absolute block height does not have consequences for the majority of transactions. In a few years, when the block reward consists mainly of transaction fees, it might make fee sniping more profitable, 0xb10c told CoinDesk. Hence, the bug could be harmful to the wider network. But right now, it's most likely a low-priority problem to fix for most wallet services because it doesn't result in users losing money or affect time locks set further into the future, 0xb10c said. Plus, the bug is a privacy leak for users. The oddly formed time lock is different from all the other time locks on the network, so it's easy for blockchain voyeurs to see that the transaction is coming from a particular wallet. Many of the faulty transactions 0xb10c detected were made by a single large entity, which he did not name. The engineer said he reached out to the entity producing the buggy software, who responded professionally, he said, coming up with a solution to the problem. It might take time for the solution to roll out, however. A fix for this has been released in early 2020. However, it will take a while before all instances of the currently deployed software are upgraded, he said. 0xb10c hopes his research will raise awareness of the risk of fee sniping attacks so wallets that haven't set the time-locked transactions correctly can make the fix, making the Bitcoin network a little more robust. He was able to pinpoint and contact the largest entity producing these flubbed transactions, but there are others out there making the same mistake. It's hard to find the respective implementations creating these transactions, 0xb10c said. Some of them might not be open source, making it even harder. First mover, 0xSZRX token surged 67% in May to become month's top performer. The ZRX token from 0x, a developer at the forefront of the fast-evolving landscape for decentralized exchanges, DEXs, surged 67% in May to become the month's top-performing digital asset. Basic Attention Token, BAT, had the second-best performance, with an 18% return in May, according to CoinDesk Research. Bitcoin ranked third with an 11% gain for the month. The largest cryptocurrency by market value traded in a range between about $8,500 and $10,000 for most of May, ending at about $9,500. You're reading First Mover, CoinDesk's daily markets newsletter. Assembled by the CoinDesk Markets team, First Mover starts your day with the most up-to-date sentiment around crypto markets, which of course never close, putting in context every wild swing in Bitcoin and more. We follow the money so you don't have to. You can subscribe here. Among the worst performing tokens was XRP from Ripple, which slid 5.6% on the month to 20 cents. Bitcoin SV, BSV, lost 7.4%, falling to $192. ZRX's May surge took the token's price to the highest in almost a year, though the current price of about 32 cents is still down some 87% from the all-time high of $2.50 reached in January 2018, according to data provider Messari. The 0x project, which is led by co-founder and CEO Will Warren and raised the equivalent of $24 million in a token sale in 2017, specializes in software that can be used to create DEXs, essentially automated trading systems that can be maintained and operated with distributed computing networks. 0x upgraded its protocol in December of last year to aggregate liquidity from on-chain sources like Uniswap, Oasis, and Kyber. At the time, analysis firm Delphi Digital described the change in a report as a step in the right direction. In a March follow-up report, Delphi noted that the protocol had seen steady trade volume growth since the upgrade took effect, mostly driven by non-fungible tokens, which can be given different attributes and are used for crypto collectibles, trading on Token Trove. Last month, 0x announced a second-quarter beta launch of a new trading platform, Matcha, that the company says has been built to feel natural, intuitive, and highlight the convenience of peer-to-peer crypto trading. Denis Vinokourov, head of research for the crypto prime broker Bequant, said in emailed comments that the token may be getting some support from its weekly staking payouts, which are rewards for holding tokens, akin to interest. According to Bitcoin Insider, the 0x community voted May 7 in favor of a proposal that would cut the time period between staking payouts from 10 days to 7. And the ZRX token enjoyed a steep one-day pop earlier this month when Ethereum founder Vitalik Buterin remarked that 0x was one of the projects he wants to try out, according to the publication. Trend: Bitcoin jumped over 8% last week, erasing a major portion of the double-digit price drop seen in the preceding week. The outlook, however, remains neutral, with the cryptocurrency still trapped in a 3.5-week-long narrowing price range, or contracting triangle, as seen on the daily chart. A UTC close above the triangle resistance at $9,835 would indicate a resumption of the rally from the March low of $3,867 and open the doors to retest of the February high of $10,500. Alternatively, a move under the lower end of the triangle at $8,890 would confirm a bearish reversal and potentially allow a test of the 200-day average at $8,070. Some chart analysts argue that the longer duration charts, monthly and weekly, have turned bullish. Great month for Bitcoin, as it broke above previous resistance, tweeted popular analyst Josh Rager after the cryptocurrency ended Sunday at $9,446. Meanwhile, on the weekly chart, the cryptocurrency has cleared the resistance of the trendline falling from June 2019 and February 2020 highs. Add to that a golden crossover on the daily chart and the path of least resistance appears to be to the higher side. As such, the cryptocurrency may end the 3.5-week-long contracting triangle with a bullish breakout. Rager, however, warned that the bullish May close could turn out to be a trap for buyers, and stronger evidence of a bull revival would be a weekly close above $10,713. Further, the cryptocurrency fell 2.5% on Sunday, forming a bearish inside day candle and aborting the upward move from last Monday's low of $8,630. Technical traders usually wait for confirmation of a trend change in the form of a negative follow through to the inside day candle, meaning, a stronger selling pressure could emerge if prices drop below Sunday's low of $9,370 over the next 24 hours. Blockchain Bytes, Chase class action, 30 words for censorship and a Bitcoin bug. Chase Bank has settled a class action lawsuit brought by defendants who claim the JP Morgan subsidiary overcharged credit card fees for crypto purchases. Meanwhile, a new report shows that 1 million time-locked Bitcoin transactions are open to a hypothetical exploit, while CoinKite has unveiled a new way to recharge hardware wallets. You're reading Blockchain Bytes, the daily roundup of the most pivotal stories in blockchain and crypto news, and why they're significant. You can subscribe to this and all of CoinDesk's newsletters here. Top shelf Chase class action. Chase Bank has agreed to repay most of $2.5 million in fees customers say it unfairly charged for cryptocurrency transactions. A subsidiary of JP Morgan Chase, the bank has agreed to settle a class action lawsuit resulting from the bank's decision in 2018 to charge higher fees on Chase credit cards that had classified the crypto purchases as cash advances. TimeLock Fault. In a new report, pseudonymous engineer 0xb10c found more than 1 million of time-locked Bitcoin transactions made between September 2019 and March 2020 were not accurately enforced by the network, increasing the risk of a hypothetical form of attack in which miners could essentially steal Bitcoin from other miners. The bug affects 10% of time-locked transactions, or 2% of Bitcoin transactions overall. Beauty startups and crypto. There are growing similarities between makeup startups and crypto communities, which are dominated by influencer marketing with products sold through direct-to-consumer DTC models and aggregated retail platforms like Amazon, Etsy, or Shopify. In both startup sectors, users are encouraged to do their own research rather than trust traditional tastemakers like magazines. I think DeFi and indie, new beauty, entrepreneurs are very similar in this regard, bringing power to the people, generating opportunities. Decentralized finance, DeFi, user and skincare aficionado Mara Paula Fernandez said. Cold Storage CoinKite released ColdPower, a way to charge hardware wallets by connecting the USB plug to a 9-volt battery, rather than plugging it into a laptop. Comparing it to a popular gizmo that prevents accidental data exchange when one device is plugged into another to charge, CoinKite says ColdPower is like a USB condom, but self-powered. Crypto long and short. Several blue-chip crypto firms including Coinbase, Genesis Capital and BitGo have revealed plans to knit new connective systems for crypto trading and investment, and become prime brokers. CoinDesk's head of research Noel Acheson posits the move might solve part of the fragmentation of crypto markets by giving investors access to several exchanges via one account. In turn, this could lead to a new cycle of development and new market participants in the latest crypto long and short newsletter. From around the web, Bitmain has launched a cheaper version of its flagship Antminer, in a bid to regain market share from rival MicroBT. The block has found that the number of blockchain-related investment deals have been declining for 7 consecutive months. Russian police arrested the head of a post office for mining crypto. Decrypt. Bitfinex was once the largest cryptocurrency exchange in the world. But where is it? Begins Saz PNC and Bennett Tomlin's excerpted chapter from a forthcoming book about the stablecoin Tether. PNC travels to China to find out. PwC's Henri Arslanian, blockchain auditors to play pivotal role in crypto, finance magnates, opposite editorial. Why family offices should consider digital assets for their portfolios. Konstantin Kogan, venture partner at BitBull Capital, takes a look at the growing trend of family offices interested in diversifying client portfolios with cryptocurrencies. Blockchain-based digital assets can be an alternative for investors hoping to reduce reliance on a failing traditional financial system, he said. To get serious about decentralization, we need to measure it. Stephanie Herder, CoinDesk columnist and economist at Prism Group, argues for standard frameworks for assessing how decentralized a crypto project is. Blockchain-based systems are economies written in code. The value of a protocol, and any native tokens, depend on economic fundamentals. As such, users, validators, and investors benefit from a standard set of measures that gauge these fundamentals and evaluate whether systems are working as intended, she writes. Market intel. Ether's gains. Bitcoin has entered the seasonally bullish month of June on a positive note, but its recent gains look pale compared to that of Ether, ETH, the second largest cryptocurrency by market value. Bitcoin rose by over 8% last week and ended May with a 9.5% gain. Meanwhile, Ether's price rose by 16% last week and 12% for the month of May. Breakout token. The ZRX token from 0x, a developer at the forefront of the fast-evolving landscape for decentralized exchanges, surged 67% in May to become the month's top-performing digital asset. ZRX's May surge took the token's price to the highest in almost a year, though the current price of about 32 cents is still down some 87% from the all-time high of $2.50 reached in January 2018, according to data provider Messari. The rise follows protocol updates and a beta launch of a new trading platform. CoinDesk Podcast Network. The Future of Money. The last episode from the Money Reimagined series looks at the battle for the future of money with insight from former U.S. Treasury Secretary Lawrence Summers, former chairman of the CFTC Christopher Giancarlo and Binance CEO Xiaoping Zhao. You can get the full four-part series here. We need 30 different words for censorship. The latest episode of Let's Talk Bitcoin features Stephanie Murphy, Jonathan Mohan, Andreas M. Antonopoulos and Adam B. Levine to discuss censorship, fascism and what we learned from Edward Snowden. Ether leads Bitcoin on price as investors prepare for staking arrival. Bitcoin has entered the seasonally bullish month of June on a positive note, but its recent gains look pale compared to that of Ether, ETH, as the Ethereum blockchain approaches a key new iteration. Bitcoin, the top cryptocurrency by market value, rose by over 8% last week and ended May with a 9.5% gain. That came after Bitcoin jumped by nearly 35% in April, according to CoinDesk's Bitcoin Price Index. Meanwhile, Ether's price rose by 16% last week and 12% for the month of May. Growth in Ether's non-price metrics, too, has been impressive compared to those for Bitcoin. For instance, the 7-day moving average of active Ether addresses stood at 12-month high of 337,986 on Sunday, according to data provided by blockchain intelligence firm Glassnode. While Ether's active addresses have risen by more than 10% over the last 2 weeks, active Bitcoin addresses declined by nearly 5%. On a more positive note, Bitcoin outshone major traditional assets in May. Gold, a traditional safe haven asset, rallied by 2% over the month. Meanwhile, the dollar index, which tracks the value of the greenback against major currencies, fell by over 0.5% and the S&P 500 index rose by 4.5%. Analysts expect both Bitcoin and Ether to maintain their bullish momentum over the near term. While seasonality is positive for Bitcoin in June, supporting the case for an extension of its 2-month winning streak, Ether is likely to benefit from Ethereum's upcoming switch to the proof-of-stake mechanism. Bitcoin has put in a positive June performance in 6 out of the last 8 years. Moreover, the cryptocurrency has printed gains in the second quarter also in 6 out of the last 8 years, as discussed previously. Macro factors, too, are supportive of continued gains in Bitcoin, according to analysts. Global tensions and uncertainties that have intensified over the past week and further support the Bitcoin narrative as an alternative investment to protect downside risks, said Matthew Dibb, co-founder of Stack, a provider of cryptocurrency trackers and index funds. President Trump, on Friday, announced new, targeted sanctions against Chinese officials and directed his administration to revoke special trade exemptions for Hong Kong. The move came in retaliation to Beijing's decision to curb Hong Kong's autonomy by imposing a new security law on the city. The tensions could further escalate, as China is now considering plans to halt imports of soy from the U.S. Dib also expects the weakness in China's yuan and the possible introduction of negative interest rates in the U.S. to bode well for Bitcoin and precious metals like gold. Technically, we are expecting a break of $10,000 over the next 2 weeks and a further push to $11,000 by July, Dib added. Meanwhile, Su Xu, CEO of Three Arrows Capital, said that BTC's moment will be a clean break of the key round figure of $10,000. Indeed, Bitcoin has failed multiple times in the last 3 weeks or so to shake off selling pressure in the range of $9,900 to $10,000. So, a convincing break above the psychological resistance could cause more buyers to join the market, leading to stronger gains. At press time, the cryptocurrency is trapped in a narrowing price range. The direction in which the range is breached will likely set the tone for the next big move. A bullish breakout could be seen, as investor sentiment is at its most bullish in years, according to on-chain data. For instance, nearly 60% of Bitcoin's supply hasn't changed hands in over 12 months, a likely sign investors are holding in expectation of gains, according to Glassnode. A similar percentage of supply was lying dormant for over a year at the start of the mega bull run in 2016. Ethereum upgrade may boost price. Ethereum's impending transition from a proof-of-work (PoW) mechanism to proof-of-stake (PoS) in a major upgrade dubbed Ethereum 2.0 likely boded well for Ether in May. Buying pressure for the cryptocurrency may remain strong in the near term, with the launch of ETH 2.0 due in Q3, 2020. It's hard to be bearish with Ethereum staking coming soon. I suspect there will be a lot more Ether staked than the projected 10 to 30 million. Perhaps even 50 million plus if a lot of people select to stake through exchanges, Rocket Pool, tweeted David Schwartz, a senior software engineer at Nash, a decentralized exchange. Staking rewards network participants for holding coins, in a similar way to earning interest on savings. The sharp rise in the number of addresses holding 32 ETH or more, an amount a holder is required to maintain as a balance to become a validator on ETH 2.0 and hence earn staking rewards, suggests investors are accumulating coins in preparation for the upgrade. Technical charts suggest that Ether could continue to outperform Bitcoin, too. The MACD histogram, an indicator used to identify trend changes and trend reversals, has crossed above zero on the Ether-Bitcoin monthly chart for the first time on record, as noted by popular analyst and engineer at IAM CryptoWolf on Twitter. The MACD's move above zero indicates a bearish to bullish trend change in the ETH-BTC exchange rate. Put simply, the market expects Ether to fare better than Bitcoin. Lennox Lai, Director of Financial Markets at cryptocurrency exchange OKEX, expects Bitcoin and the broader cryptocurrency market to benefit from the increased investor interest in Ether. The upcoming ETH 2.0 upgrade shall encourage more people to stake ETH and ultimately benefit the sentiments of the crypto market as a whole, said Lai. Crypto influencers are following the beauty playbook even if they don't know it. Beauty mogul Michelle Phan isn't the only woman to notice similarities between makeup startups and crypto communities. Both are dominated by influencer marketing with products sold through direct-to-consumer DTC models and aggregated retail platforms like Amazon, Etsy or Shopify. In emerging markets without direct access to Amazon, Lebanese Bitcoiner Michelle Haber said grassroots traders often fill the role of educating clients and helping them procure their first wallets. Social media accounts and chat groups become ad hoc retail networks. When it comes to grassroots distribution strategies, few mainstream industries offer a better precedent for the nascent cryptocurrency space than small beauty businesses, according to decentralized finance, DeFi, user and skincare aficionado Mara Paula Fernandez. In both startup sectors, users are encouraged to do their own research rather than trust traditional tastemakers like magazines. I think DeFi and indie, new beauty, entrepreneurs are very similar in this regard, bringing power to the people, generating opportunities, she said. There is no harm in learning about what's in your beauty products. It benefited consumers as well, as some of them can become influencers and broadcast their knowledge for compensation. Likewise, Fernandez said, she now looks for beauty products and crypto tools in similar ways. She builds up her own expertise, learning together with loved ones who work in the skincare industry, while also following influencers with professional experience in the field. So far, in the crypto industry, hardware wallet sellers predominantly rely on digital word of mouth. Much like the beauty marketing strategies on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok, this includes sending products to crypto influencers to review and make instructional guides. This typically matures into a referral marketing strategy that leverages these same fan groups. For example, Eva Fisarova, head of communications at the Trezor wallet maker Satoshi Labs, said the startup collaborates with social media influencers on affiliate marketing activities rather than paying influencers to advertise. A few exchanges, like Binance and Gemini, have already proved successful with the referral model, which has worked for decades for multi-level marketing companies like Avon and Mary Kay Cosmetics. As such, the Instagram micro-influencer Xiango Unchained, who works at Cosmos developer Tendermint during the day, said she's been earning pocket money through the Gemini referral link in her Instagram bio for a few months. If her fans use that link to sign up and buy more than $100 in crypto, she receives $10 in Bitcoin. I just see people on Instagram doing it, she said of promoting brands through her Instagram, where she started featuring professional portraits with brand tags in 2019. I wanted people who asked me about crypto to use Gemini instead of Coinbase because Coinbase's fees are insane. It remains to be seen how these marketing strategies will scale during the coronavirus recession. YouTube giveaways. We sometimes get in touch with users to help them engage their followers by doing giveaways and joining campaigns, Fisarova said of Satoshi Labs' influencer strategy. Unlike beauty brands, which look for experienced influencers with established followings, crypto brands are more likely to help users become influencers. Fisarova said her company has sold hundreds of thousands of Trezor wallets this way, working with the community to create a brand that users love so much the hardware seller does not need to pay for advertising. We have seen a growing demand for our products in the past 3 months, Fisarova said. There were some shipment issues in some markets, which we managed to resolve, so our customers would get their devices on time. Rodolfo Novak, co-founder of the hardware seller Coinkite, said he's also seen an uptick in demand since the coronavirus crisis began. Our sales are increasing week by week, Novak said, declining to specify how many devices other than to say it is now comparable to the French wallet startup Ledger, which sold more than 1.8 million wallets to date, according to a Ledger spokesperson. Novak added his company sent more than 50 hardware products to YouTube reviewers over the past 3 years. In terms of community, the company's Telegram group has roughly 773 members. This is their primary marketing strategy. We find our users help other users, Novak said. If we added the cost of education, marketing, that would make our product more expensive. Even this small niche has proved profitable for Kawinkite, which operates its own factory and DTC distribution. In the beauty industry, DTC startups are often acquired by larger brands or start more traditional ad campaigns as they grow. When it comes to crypto, so far it appears larger companies rely on sponsoring niche content creators. Because, after all, free products don't pay the bills. Sponsorships and referrals. The most successful crypto influencers generally seek to spin their star power into media startups. This may someday be the case for Bitcoin podcaster Marty Bent, whose show is sponsored by Unchained Capital and Square's Cash App. For now, Bent described his podcast and newsletter as an educational passion project, in addition to working at the Bitcoin company Great American Mining. Bent said he rejects several prospective advertisers a month because he's not in a rush to build a sustainable podcast business. I wouldn't be against advertising for a company that isn't a Bitcoin company, as long as I like and believe in the product, Bent said. I think content creators, especially if they're successful in developing an engaged audience, should realize they can be selective and wait for advertisers they and their audiences align with. A spokesperson for Cash App declined to comment on the company's sponsorship strategy, including deals with podcaster Joe Rogan and the Twitter-savvy rapper Lil B. Large companies, like Cash App and the Kraken Crypto Exchange, focus on sponsoring content creators that monetize their personal brands. Kraken sponsors two such startups that emerged over the past year, including Reckless VR in April 2020, founded by virtual reality meetup organizer Udi Wertheimer, and podcaster Peter McCormick, who launched his media brand Defiance in 2019. McCormick is one of the few influencers who turned his hobby into a day job, reportedly earning $1 million in revenue last year. Still, micro-influencers make money through referrals rather than sponsorships. Bent is an unusual case, snagging a mainstream sponsor so early on. For a more typical example, Michael G. Yu, who created a Telegram group with more than 3,602 members and a YouTube channel with 203,000 subscribers, said he offers Ledger Wallet affiliate links although the hardware company doesn't sponsor his videos. Since GU started creating crypto content in 2012 under the Box Mining moniker, he primarily monetizes his social media channels through affiliate links, viewer donations and, until recently, monthly YouTube memberships. I don't view Box Mining as a business that demands monthly profits, etc., GU said of his crypto content brand. We had an increase in donations after coronavirus, especially after the community found out that YouTube demonetized all videos covering the subject. Growth strategies. The first lesson crypto brands are learning from their beauty industry predecessors is that influencers must be hyper-specific to drive sales, yet evolve as the audience grows in order to remain relevant. Companies like the payments startup and debit card provider Crypto.com may leverage their influencer strategies to spin out regional communities, such as Turkish or Russian Telegram groups. Crypto.com CEO Chris Mershalek said his company already started this process during the demand surge of early 2020, and is now looking for local partners from universities, to influencers, to payment partners. Meanwhile, he said the startup's user base doubled to 2 million people over the past 6 months. When it comes to what the company looks for in an influencer, Mershalek said people willing to broadcast themselves using our product and testing it, introducing it to their audiences. We get more return on investment on that, giveaways and referral bonuses, than Facebook ads, Mershalek said. The drop-offs are huge once you ask for know your customer information, so it's an expensive thing to advertise if you don't have an attractive product with a strong word-of-mouth reputation. It's clear how crypto companies benefit from focusing their marketing budgets on influencers and community management instead of ads and traditional media coverage. It remains to be seen how this plays into the broader influencer economy. In the beauty industry, the most successful influencers eventually launch their own product lines. This is much closer to the type of personality cult and product pairing seen with token issuers like Justin Sun of Tron or Binance founder Changpeng Zhao, creator of BNB tokens, than influencer media startups like The Skim. Much like Sun, other types of influencers also occasionally do cash giveaways for fans on social media. This isn't unique to crypto. Will we someday live in a world where fans speculate on a celebrity's earning potential, like NBA player Spencer Dinwiddie is doing with security tokens? It's still exceedingly rare for influencer clout to build a broader media or education business, in any sector, rather than advertise consumable products. The YouTube queen herself, Michelle Phan, is looking to launch a podcast in 2020 and become an exception to this rule. In a space where most people get information about financial products through sponsored content, it's up to consumers to determine whether the influencer is offering unbiased education or propaganda. Sometimes, marketing can be both. Tron founder Justin Sun sponsored a college campus tour by podcaster Ben Armstrong, aka BitBoy Crypto, in 2019, along with partners at the Blockchain Education Alliance. As for Bent, he's not aiming to make a ton of money, anytime soon, nor expand like McCormick. Since Bent has traditional syndicate experience, from the podcast network Barstool Sports, he isn't betting on that rare transition from sponsored educator to sustainable outlet. My goal is to get quality information about Bitcoin into as many minds as possible, Bent said, referring to his podcast and newsletter as advocacy. The fact that they are profitable is an added bonus. Some people may call me an influencer, but that's not my goal. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.